Well, Father, I just thank you so much for this time together with everybody, this fellowship, this fellowship of like-minded believers, Lord, that want to come on and learn what's going on in your world, Lord, and we want to learn what's going on in your world through them too, Lord, and we just thank you tonight's going to be a wonderful night, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you that your cleansing power is sweeping through your body and getting people prepared for the days ahead. Father, you're pouring out your grace more every day, it seems like, more and more every day, Lord. And the body is being cleansed because of your mercy and your grace upon our lives, Lord. And we thank you so much for that, Father. And Lord, we just ask that tonight that you anoint the body here to praise you, Lord, and to glorify your name for the things that you're doing in their life, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us all tonight with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right. Boy, I feel an excitement in the spirit, an exciting anticipation of what God's doing, even now. You know, his grace is being poured out more and more every day. And it just amazes me how he's cleaning people up and getting them ready. So let's start out by, anybody need prayer or would like us to pray about something?
Hey, Michael, this is Sula back.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, yeah, I would like some prayer. I've just had a lot of Lyme symptoms of severe fatigue and sleeplessness and anxiety, and I would just like some prayer for that. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. What is that? Hang on here. I had something going on in the background. I had David. Y'all have to excuse me. I don't know how iTunes got turned on, but I was hearing it. And I don't think y'all were. But anyway, and it was getting loud. Anyway, Lord, we just lift up Sue to you, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, and we can ask these things and trust that you're going to answer our prayers, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her supernatural energy. And we command this spirit of stress and anxiety to go out of her right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed. She has been infused with your supernatural energy, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that everything about her is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Praise you, Father.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry, Michael. Is my mic not muting sometimes?
I couldn't tell if it was.
Maybe I interrupted you.
No. No, what happened was that apparently I hit my iTunes symbol over there, and iTunes started out with a Bible study of David's, and it was loud, and y'all couldn't hear it, but I could hear it.
I thought
anyway.
It was me. I was clearing my voice when you said that.
No, that's okay. All right, anybody else need prayer or would like to pray?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Stan.
Yeah, I could use some prayer. I just need more faith. I was listening to David's Bible study from 9 days ago, and it's just, I can tell I need more faith. So if you could pray for me, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. Amen. I think we all need more. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we can come to your throne, and I lift Stan up to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you heard his prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to infuse him with bold faith We all need bold faith, Lord. And I ask that for all of us. I ask, Lord, that you infuse all of us with your bold faith, because it all that faith comes from you, Lord. We know that faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. Father, we just thank you for every bit of that and more, too, Lord. Faith to believe and not to box you up in a box and think that you can't handle this or you can't handle that. Father, I thank you for faith to believe for everything. Nothing is nothing is impossible for you to do, Lord. You can do it all. I've seen you do all kinds of stuff, Lord, and I praise you for that. And I know these people here have too. And somebody needs to mute your mic, please. That it would be Terry. All right. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all more faith that we need to, just the right amount for the circumstances that come up, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that all of us have that now, because we believe, we trust you, and we know that when we believe, that it shall be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
I'd like to bring something up that just before I got on to help me out a little bit. I was listening to David's teaching again from Sunday and the Shemitah about release, you know, releasing people. And, you know, I've been through my laundry list a number of times, thinking of people I needed to forgive, and I pretty much thought I had it all covered. And I was thinking, well, Lord, is there anybody out there, because still, I'm just serious all the time, is there somebody still in my life that I need to forgive that I'm not aware of? And I'm going through the list again. It's nothing. Oh, that's funny. Whatever. You know, it wasn't no big deal. And yeah, that was a funny thing that happened to me, and I can let that go. Then all of a sudden, this old girlfriend came up my mind, and you know, it's been 35 years. It was like I felt the hurt in my heart that, you know, she let me go, and I thought, oh. And I felt the anger from that, and I thought, wait a minute. Why, 35 years ago, why do I? And it's like, because way back then, I must not have let that go, but it was there, even though I have not thought about this person in 30-some years or more. It, when it came out, it was like, oh, wow, geez, Lord, let me let that go. That's you know, so many years ago. Why would I think of that? Why would that bother me? It's like one little thing. And then the funniest thing came up, the next one. It was like when I was like maybe in third grade, used to walk home from school in wintertime. We had these snowbanks up on both sides of the road and had a road that was like, you know, I got two car lengths and then a side street area where people could maybe park a little bit. And this bully kid was in sixth grade, and he could throw snowballs and hit us across the street, but we could hit him back. And so it was like every day coming home for a while, it was like getting bombarded and having to watch out and getting mad about it. And that little thing there, it's like that came in my head. I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, it's like all the way back to third grade, I had to think about that. And like, oh, you know, as much as I didn't like it, I forgave that, even though it was funny and stupid as this. Little things like that you would wipe off the face of the earth. It's been so long. But when the Lord brings it out, it's like, well, that's there. That's way back then. And you were a little kid, but you didn't like it, and you didn't let it go. And so I'm just letting other people know, you know, go ahead. You know, go back over your laundry list if you think it would be a good time to do that, the Shemitah time. You know, you think you got everybody forgiven, but there might be something hidden way back in your heart that the Lord can pull out. And I felt released from those things when I finally said, oh, yeah, geez, you know, I don't want that. I don't want to be on forgiveness. You know what the penalty is. But just to share, just before I come on, I thought I'd share that.
Yeah, we got a 10-day period here to take care of all of that unforgiveness before judgment comes, according to the Shemitah. So, yeah, we need to go all the way back as far as we can, as far as the Lord shows us. Get rid of these things that beset us. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I was just going to share that I just knew, a brother in the Lord that he'd been going through a lot of trials and that. And what happened was, is the Lord gave him a dream. And in the dream, once he really looked at the dream, he realized that he had unforgiveness for two family members. And it was pretty awesome. And he just, he got to the point where, he really pressed in, for forgiveness for them. And I think a lot of it was the forgiveness came through, or the unforgiveness came through another family member that told stories about these family members. So it wasn't anything he really saw firsthand. It was listening to somebody else, and that spirit was imparted in him. The bitterness from that, one family member was imparted, and it came out unforgiveness towards some other family members. And but the awesome thing was, is the Lord gave him a dream, and then he pressed in and forgave and really got set free. So I would just encourage everybody that really take a look at the dreams that the Lord is giving you. And, if you're in a trial and you just can't get out of that trial, ask the Lord to give you a dream. Ask the Lord to reveal the root, what's going on. Because some of us have been, could be turned over to the tormentors, and we keep dealing and going around the mountain and just can't get out of some of these trials. And it might be some deep-rooted unforgiveness that goes way back, like Malcolm was saying. So I just thought I'd throw that out.
Well, amen. That's true. That is true. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else got any prayer requests or things they'd like to pray about? I would. I'd like to praise God, thank Him for delivering my daughter, and just thank Him for answering prayer. I praise You, Father, that You are working in her life. I thank You, Lord, that You are changing the way she looks at things, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that You're delivering her from all of these different things that have accumulated over the years of prescription drug use, Lord. And I just praise You, Father, that You're going to place joy in her heart. You're placing forgiveness in her heart, Lord. And I just thank You, Lord, for all You're doing for Allison, in Jesus' name. Praise You, Father. Thank You so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to thank the Lord for answering your prayers? Because we're looking at the things that are not as though they are, right?
Michael?
Hey, Gail.
Hi. Yep, I got two thank yous, two big ones. I was working with, first I'll do the forgiveness that was most important to me. I wanted to forgive my sister, and I knew that I felt that I really need to understand her more, where she's the cause of her behaviors. So I asked for that understanding. That with that, I'm believing that I would be shown. And after like 20 minutes or so, I felt a real pain in my heart, like a real hurt, a huge pain, I guess you'd say. And I felt that was her pain, and I was feeling that. And so I asked, I wondered if that was my answer, it'd be easier to forgive when you see how someone else is suffering. So I said, I think that's my answer, but it's not kind of what I expected. I expected kind of a psychological insight or something into her more. So I wasn't sure that was my answer. So I asked for a sign, and I was sitting outside, and the sky was totally clear, no clouds, nothing, no birds. And I said, okay, if I understood your answer, I'd like to see a bird come by shortly. Well, about, I was clear, no birds, nothing going on. And about maybe 3 minutes later, big bird came by, and pretty low, and right straight in front of me, across from me, big black bird. So I'm taking that as my answer, that that was my answer to help me forgive her, to seeing that that she's in a lot of pain. And it already is helping me. I think I got two answers there. The other miracle took place. I was working with a food saver that it vacuum packs food, and I'd stopped working. There's two parts to it. One does the vacuuming and one seals. Okay, so the vacuuming stopped. The seals still worked. So I was okay. I did a visual. You know, I felt it wasn't hot. Everything was plugged in. Nothing was, the current was working. There was nothing clogging anything. I said, well, so I went to the book. What does the book say? Well, it possibly a powdery substance had been sucked in. Well, I had just finished doing a powdery substance. I go, oh, that's it. I just wrecked my machine. Well, I'll leave it, sit here. Tomorrow I'll call the company. And I said, no, I'll pray for it. I'll pray that it's healed. Well, and I really feel right about it. I felt this was my chance. You know, this is what I needed to do for me. It was at the right, it was right. I didn't, and I'd walk by, I didn't want to, I didn't give God a timetable. I said, no. So I was afraid to look and see if it was working, you know, because, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning because I didn't tell God when I wanted it fixed, right? So, but I'd walk by it, you know, put my hand on it and, you know, thank the Lord for fixing it. The next morning, I said, okay, here we go. It worked. Well, I'm telling you, I could feel my eyes, like, pop open, like, huge, right? I have my jaw go down. And then I just felt jubilance, you know. And then for the next 3 hours, I was just in awe. Amen. I'm blessed. Twice fold.
Amen. God can even heal those things, can't he?
Yes, indeed.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody want to praise the Lord for answering prayer?
Hey, Michael, this is Sue again.
Hey, Sue.
Hey. You know, I just wanted to praise the Lord for, you know, that we're putting repentance into my heart, you know, so many times that we try and justify things, and I just praise the Lord that, you know, that we can repent and I'm for putting it in our hearts to do this because it's so important. And, you know, what you said at the first part about, you know, the Lord's cleansing us, that's so true. And I can see it in myself, and I can see it in, you know, my husband, Michael. He's, you know, just some awesome things. When people confess, you know, they're able to forgive, and the other person is able to forgive. And, you know, so many times you hold those things in your heart and you don't even realize it at times until the Lord brings it out. And when you do really start, confessing, it's such a relief because you're really carrying around a burden in your heart, you know, and you have this heaviness and you don't know why. But then when the Lord brings that to you, and it's really awesome, you know, you just feel so much better. And I just want to praise and thank the Lord for, you know, for granting us repentance, and that we're able to repent, and because it does bring such a relief. And I just praise and thank you, Lord, you know, for your gift of repentance.
Yep, that's a big one too. Man, I tell you what, if we didn't have repentance, if we didn't have God's grace and mercy on us for repentance, well, we'd be lost. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
For sure.
Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, that's good. Me too. All right. Anybody else? Want to praise God and thank God for answering your prayers.
Yeah, Michael, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. Well, I want to thank the Lord. Lord, thank you so much. This afternoon, I was just kind of watching that video that was on UVM that you said to watch, and just I had felt bad because I didn't go back to Indiana last week to my family's reunion, but I didn't feel that I should go back, but I never really actually heard from the Lord to tell me. I just felt it. But as I was watching this video, I actually heard, this is the reason why you didn't go back, because you're supposed to be worshiping and getting closer to me. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, because I just wanted to hear it. You know, I just wanted to hear it. I just thank the Lord for telling me this, even though I knew it, but I just wanted to hear it. So thank you, Lord, for coming to me today, this afternoon, and telling me what I really wanted to hear. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way, leading us around, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to praise the Lord, thank the Lord for what he's done?
Hey, Michael, I'll praise the Lord.
Okay.
I was in a little bit of a trial, and I realized that we just got to be real careful, because the enemy just sets up a lot of, you know, just a lot of stumbling blocks. And I had two situations, and it was dealing with, you know, other people, and it was dealing with people that are, you know, might proclaim to be Christ or Christians, and and you know, they can proclaim it or whatever, but you know, I would say they're just you know churchy if that's. But I realized that when you know, it's just a situation where I was just expecting kind of a, you know, it was both business dealings, and I was expecting them to act a certain way, you know, just with professionalism or with respect or you know, whatever. But, you know, really it was, you know, I would not treat them the way they treated me. And it was in a business sense. And I saw where I held a judgment against them, you know, just because of, you know, not returning phone calls or, you know, not following up or not taking care of situations and that. And I had the Lord was showing me, I was kind of turned over to, you know, tormentors in a little bit of a trial. And you know, sometimes I just kind of, my thoughts aren't clear, and I tend to, you know, might get lost in my head a little bit, and when I really pressed in and say, "What, Lord, what is going on?" That he showed me that I just had this, you know, judgment, you know, is more, you know, self-righteousness, or, you know, you shouldn't have, you know, you could have handled this different, or you should have returned that phone call, or you should have. And I really saw where when we expect somebody else to do something, if we put expectations on them, or we think that they should, you know, do something a certain way, we're just setting ourselves up. And that's exactly what happened. And so I really had to, you know, press into the Lord and see that. So the neat thing is, when you get into these trials or these situations and you know something's wrong, you know, just taking the time to press in, and if you just, you know, if you're patient, the Lord will show you what's going on. And then as soon as you repent, you know, the enemy always tries to come in and bring condemnation, oh, you know, or look what you've done, or, you know, you should know better, whatever it is. And then you got to kind of fight down those things. But, But once you get through that and you repent, you know, the Lord is just graceful to, you know, just to, you know, get you out of that. So I just want to praise the Lord for just showing me these little trials. He's just working in all of us to just to bring out perfection, and you know, he's just not, you know, he's just not letting you get away with much. You know, he just wants us cleaned up. So I just want to share that and give the Lord praise as far as for getting me through that trial. Amen.
Amen. You know, you hit on something there that probably everybody has experienced, is our expectations for people are set at our standards, and we don't know what's going on in those people's lives, you know, that why they fail. And so that's where a root of bitterness starts a lot of time. Not to saying that's what happened to Tim, but that happens a lot in the business world and also in relationships with family members and friends, you know. Your expectations are put way up there. Well, that's not the way I'd treat them, but they treated me this way, you know. And then you hold that root of bitterness, and what happened? Next thing you know, you're under the curse, and all that stuff goes on. So, yeah, you're exactly right, Tim. God is cleaning us up to the point of where we're dead men walking. Nothing affects us anymore, you know. And I praise God for that. I praise God that he is teaching us all just to be dead men walking, dead women and men walking, that nothing affects us anymore other than the power of God, the love of God. And, boy, that's what affects me now, is the love of God coming through his people. And I just praise God for it. I know he's working in all of y'all's life, too, about with this love for our fellow human beings, whether they be saved or not. And we see how that even the unsaved out there, they can't help themselves. They don't know God. They don't have the love of God in their heart. They don't have a correction factor in the Lord to help them, so we can't judge them. We just go on about our business, just like the Lord said, and don't let anything bother us. We just go on like dead men walking. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for making us all dead, for killing self, to putting that dead man up on the cross and leaving him there. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, anybody else want to thank and praise the Lord for what he's doing in your life? Well, all right. What about a testimony or a praise report? Anybody have anything they'd like to share? You know, with all that's going on in the world, with everything that's going on in the world, it looks like, don't know, but it sure looks like we're coming down to the wire here. I don't know what's going to happen on any day other than what's happening right now, you know. God can do anything at any time. And I praise God for keeping me around people who, like yourselves, are running after the Lord. I praise you, Father, that we can look at one another and we can help one another, encourage one another, and lift up the body of Christ and encourage them to keep running that race, Father. I thank you for that. Lord, I ask for the words to say to everybody, to encourage them to keep on that race, Lord, to keep in the race, and don't allow the enemy to take you out, and allow you, Lord, to filter out all of this darkness in our hearts at times that we get, that we've collected over these years, Lord, and that not any of us, that pride would not keep us from your cleansing power, Lord. You know, these trials, Lord, that you put upon us is for one thing only, and that's to mature us in you, Lord. Now, you have rules for your body that keep everybody in the body. And, Father, when one of us missteps and a brother corrects, Lord, we thank you for repentance granted that right then, Lord, that remorse would come over them and that they would repent and come back into the fold. Father, we praise you for that. We just thank you, Lord. You have promised us here a few weeks ago that we wouldn't leave anymore out of this body. And Father, I thank you that nobody else is going to be lost to the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, that you are cleansing us all. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, praise reports and testimonies.
I think that was a wonderful testimony about Jimmy the other day.
Oh, my. Yeah. Hey, by the way, a little update on that. We heard from Garrett today. And he's not quite talking yet. He's still motioning with his hands, but he is improving dramatically the last couple of days. So we have high expectations that at any time he's going to give his testimony about going up and seeing the Lord, and the Lord showing him what he needs to show him in order to get his eyes focused on him. Thank you, Lord. Was there anybody in here that didn't hear about the, there's some of you in here that didn't hear what happened the other night? Right at closing time on the conference call. If you left early, you didn't hear it. What happened was that earlier that afternoon, it was around 5:45, we got a call from a brother up in Ohio, Garrett Crawford, and Garrett told us about this young man, Jimmy, who worked for him, and he was also a friend of their families. Garrett's been with UBM for quite a number of years. Anyway, he called us for prayer. Garrett called us for prayer for this man, Jimmy, who had gotten knocked out of a tree and by a large tree branch, large limb, and the limb had fallen on him, crushed his skull, crushed his upper torso considerably, broke a bunch of bones in him, and he was dead when he hit the ground. And his dad, who was out there with him working too, ran over and started trying to do CPR on, started doing CPR on him, and did that for 15 minutes until the EMT personnel came, but he was dead. He was dead. He did not draw another breath at that time. And so the EMTs came in there, and they said, man, the guy is dead. There's nothing we can do. They called MedFlight, and MedFlight came in, got him, and they didn't hook him up with anything. But Garrett called David, and David, I was in the kitchen when David came in and said, we need to agree for this fellow. So we agreed in prayer that the Lord would send his spirit back to his body, and that the spirit of death had to go in Jesus' name. And basically that was what we had prayed. You know, we prayed a little bit more, but anyway, we prayed that. We prayed in the spirit a little bit, and we left it with the Lord. And about 10 o'clock last Thursday night, David came up to my bedroom. It's right after when we had already closed out. The recorder was still going a little bit. And told me, said, he's alive. I said, yeah, he's alive. He said, 15 minutes after they had taken him, which would have been 35 minutes total, he started breathing again. Out of the clear blue sky, there was nothing hooked up to him. There weren't any life, I don't know what all they hooked, oxygen or anything like that was hooked up to him. They knew he was dead. And I think it was in the med flight that he came back to life. And now he's in the hospital and he's recovering. And there was no hope for him. There was none. And we prayed for his complete restoration. And God just miraculously, which was a bona fide miracle. And the reason Garrett said he wanted to pray for him because the man was unsaved. He was not saved at all. And he said, we can't let him go. He's unsaved. He'll go to hell. So that's when we prayed. And God honored the prayers and brought that man back to life. And he's in the hospital now recovering. And the first day, I believe, no, maybe the next day, Garrett went in there and asked him how he was doing, and he gave two thumbs up, which was a miracle in itself, you know. because all of his limbs, a lot of his bones were broken up in his upper torso. So God is good. Praise God. That was an awesome time the other night when David came up, and we all just rejoiced in the knowledge that this young man had another chance to give his life to the Lord and to meet him in heaven someday. Amen. Awesome time. Awesome times. We're going to see a lot of that in the days ahead. I'm telling you, y'all have bold faith. I know you do, because God gave it to you. And we're going to see it. We're going to see everything that God's going to do here in the days to come. It's going to be miracles after miracles after miracles, because God's people now are understanding that we don't need to put him in a box. He can do anything. He can transport you into a place to transport people out of trouble, and do that in a way where it'll just astound the authorities, and the people aren't going to mess with God's people, the true God's people. They won't be able to. The power of God is going to be all around them. Praise God. It's going to be an astounding time. This is just a start. This is just a beginning. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How are you doing, brother?
Oh, I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, man. I tell you, it's been an awesome week. How you doing?
Hey, man, I've been really wrestling. You know, it seems like there's a lot of the stuff that we know and the things that we've learned. They have to make the long journey from the head to the heart. You know, they have to make come to a place where what we know becomes what we really know. And I think of that scripture that when the widow woman her son was raised from the dead by Elijah. She said, "And now do I know you're a man of God, and that the word in thy mouth is truth. You can speak the true doctrine of God, and it can be an absolutely doctrinally correct statement, but it's not truth in your life. It's a theological position. It's something you believe, something you know. But God is, I've been crying out. One of the things that's really been stirring my heart, I just took a trip yesterday, and today I got back, but there's this man that we've been kind of sharing with, and he works at a local supermarket. And nice guy, really nice guy. He's been a really nice fellow, but he doesn't know the Lord really, and he's a little bit religious and living with a woman and a few other things. But the point being is I felt like I was supposed to take this trip. He was going out to a hunting camp, and I just went out there with him to spend some time with him. And I, my wife and I prayed, and it turned out I got to really share in a powerful way with this brother. But I recognized in my own life that, you know, and I read William Booth and different people that have had deep encounters with the Lord, and I recommend highly anybody that can get a hold of William Booth's amazing visions, profound revelation of, you know, I think he was two or three times in heaven and had some profound visitations. But the thing that I recognize is that, you know, when Jesus touched that one man that was blind, and he said to him, "Now what do you see?" He says, I see men like trees walking. And I feel like in my own life, I need a second touch. I still see sometimes men like trees walking. I can't see the value of that eternal soul, the consequence of eternity, the consequence of a life of sin. You know, and you can share with somebody, and you can tell them all the right things. And sometimes I look at people handing out these little four spiritual law books with about as much emotion as, you know, going to the store. And I think, what's the point at all, you know, to give them a bunch of principles? You've got to, you know, if we can't share with the compassion of Christ, if we can't share tempered with the eternal perspective of the value of the eternal soul and the consequence of a life or death for eternity, and even now I speak these things with a longing in my heart and a cry, Father, I don't want to see with my natural eyes, with my natural understanding. I need a revelation. I need to see things by the illumination of the Spirit, the reality of the things I profess. When you share with somebody with tears running down your face,
when you share with somebody with your heart, just yearning with deep concern for their lives and for their soul, and out of the love of God, you will affect their lives. You give somebody some principles, and they can take it or leave it. But I really believe with all my heart, we really need to cry out to God, especially in this realm of sharing with lost people and praying for lost people. It's like, I look at the videos, I have some videos that Malcolm sent me about the underground church in China and the brethren meeting together. And when you see 1,200 people in a room crying out with their hearts, is with absolute intensity, everyone with their hands raised and their faces all soaked wet with tears, I can tell you there's a difference between that kind of prayer and what I've seen a lot of. And I believe that we need to break through to where we are fervent in spirit, fervent in desire. When what we do with intensity. We don't do anything. We have passion toward God, passion toward our fellow man, passion of concern for our brethren, that what moves, that we move with our hearts, not just our minds, not just what we know is true. Those things are good to have principles, but principle without the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, it says when Jesus, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, the shoes of whom I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat into the garner, and cast the chaff into unquenchable fire. But we've had the baptism of the Spirit, but I tell you what, I'm crying out for the baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what brings true revival in people's lives, is when that passion, that fire, that reality, that intensity burns in our spirit, not the revelation of the head, but the revelation of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, dawned in us by the Holy Spirit, that what we see through the veil of this natural realm, and when we speak with fire that's come from above. And when we speak those words, because they're anointed from above, they're anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire, they pierce, penetrate, and bring change in the lives of those of whom it is affected. And I'm crying out in my own experience. I say this because I go to this store and I look around, and it's just like a bunch of cattle sometimes. I see people all over the place, and you get calloused if you're not careful. To just look at, there's some big ones and some little ones, and this one's full of tattoos, and this one's good. But to see beyond the veil of this whole natural thing, and to see that soul that's in there, and if there's, Paul says, if that by any means, you know, and he says, I become all things to all men, if that I might by any means win them. You know, he was looking for each soul that he saw. There was that passion of the Spirit to reach that person for Christ, to make a difference in their lives. And I know in my heart right now that there's two ways we can get this, because we're going to get it one way or another. We can get it by the revelation of the Spirit as we begin to cry out for the things that are on God's heart, because I'm here to tell you this is on God's heart. He does not like, he says, I would to the Laodicean people. He says, I know your works, how that you are neither hot nor cold. And since you are, I would that you were hot or cold, he says, but since you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you from my mouth. And I don't think we realize how terribly affected we are by our culture, how much the affluence has affected us, how much, we become, you know, it's just like we go through, and I'm not saying everybody does this, but I have caught myself praying at a meal and realize that I'm praying, I'm saying the right things. But there's really not the thankfulness of heart for the meal that I'm just, because you know what, meals are a dime a dozen in this nation right now. It's easy to get a meal. There's a lot of meals around. But if you're in Africa right now and somebody gives you a meal, I'll tell you, have a different heart about it. If you're in Somalia or some of these places where people are starving and little babies, I saw a poster, and I may have made this comment, but I saw a poster that really affected me, and it showed a little starving baby, and then below it said, diet cola, diet this, diet that, diet that. And it says, isn't it amazing the things that we think about in this nation, you know? And with affluence, with abundance, becomes somewhat, if we're not careful, an unthankfulness, just to take it for granted, you know? And one place when it says in 2 Peter 1, he says, wherefore, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Do you remember the pit God dug you out of? Do you need to revisit again and remember that you were just as lost as that other person that you're looking at with the tattoos all over their hindquarters and all over the place? Does it move your heart to look back and go, man, I remember people telling me that nobody would talk to me about God because they thought I was a reprobate. And I didn't even know that there was such a thing. I didn't know about the Lord, but then God in his mercy visited me anyway. But we can't take for granted. Sometimes it's that murderer like Paul, or this one that God has laid his hand on and with a high calling on their lives. You never know. But with all of our heart, I believe right now, when we start praying according to the will of God for the things that are on his heart, which is fervent in spirit serving the Lord, fervent in spirit, passionate about what we do. When we pray, we don't pray casually. We don't just say the right things. We're not just making petitions like you would to a politician. We're talking to the Lord of heaven that created heaven and earth, who has, by the mercy of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself sits day and night as an intercessor, making intercession for us while the devil accuses. The Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for you. And he wants us to take that same ministry upon our hearts, where we carry the burden and the heart of the living God for those around us, where we carry that for the church of God, where we carry that passion and desire to be fervent toward the living God, that what we do with a passionate heart, that what we do with intensity, and that we cry out until we apprehend, because it's in God's heart that we should have it, the reality of the things we profess to believe. Because I speak in my own experience, a whole lot of what I know, this is not reality by the revelation of the Spirit. It's reality in my head. I know the doctrines. I know the right verses and all the things. But I cry out to bridge that gap between this temporal realm and that eternal realm and get a hold of the reality, the passion, the fire of the things I profess to believe, so that when I pray with fervency like those brethren in China with a wet face, hands lifted, and crying out from the intensity of the Spirit, crying out to the living God on behalf and interceding as the Holy Spirit avails us to do his bidding, where we can carry the burden in the heart of the living God, and that we move, because as Jesus said, I only do those things which I see my Father do. My Father speaks and I speak. My Father moves and I move. May God grip us, because I tell you what, we're past the days of passive religion. We're at a time, brother, where we're in an all-out battle, and our lives and everyone around us is at stake. And it's not going to, if we just think we're going to slide on into the great things of God, I got news for you, it won't happen. You're going to have it. It's those that hunger and thirst after righteousness that are filled. Those that seek him with all of their heart. Those that earnestly contend for the faith once delivered for the saints. Do you not know, dear brothers, that they that run in a race run all, but only one obtains the prize? So run that you may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it for a temporal crown, but we for an incorruptible crown. And for, he said, they for a corruptible, but we for an incorruptible crown. And he said, so I run, not with uncertainty, and I don't fight as one that beats the air. But I keep my body under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. All the words about the pursuit of God are aggressive words. Agonize is the word in the Greek, to enter into the straight gate. It's not slide in. It's enter in with agony, striving, pursuing with intensity. And I believe in my heart that we're going to learn this right now by one of two ways. We're either going to learn it because we've cried out for the right things, and the Lord, by the revelation of the Spirit, speaks into our spirit and makes these things real to us, to where when we move with the passion of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost fire. Or we can wait till we get it in the back of the head, where we find ourselves in absolute crisis, and God uses that to bring us to a place of intensity of spirit, fervency of spirit. But one way or another, brother, we're going to get it. But I think it's a lot easier deal to be able to right now start crying out for the right thing. And I know that God will. It says when we pray according to the will of God, he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, we have those petitions that we've asked of him. And when we're crying out to God for a fervent heart, for the love of God, for love toward God, for passion and devotion, to know how, what it means to walk a life of sacrifice, where we don't live unto ourselves, we live unto Him that died and rose again from the dead, that we live unto Christ, that it's not where we could say with Paul, not with a theological position, but with reality, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet it's not I. It's Christ Himself that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There needs to be that kind of a passion in our hearts. And I believe right now, when you're crying out for those things that are on God's heart, that is on God's heart, that you would be alive. It says He makes His angel spirits, I think it's Psalm 104, He maketh His angel spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. Brothers, He wants to make us a flame of fire, where when we speak, everything we come around is touched with our words, with our interaction with humans, they start on fire. Something starts on fire within them. Their hearts are kindled. Their spirits are set ablaze. There's something stirring deep in their spirit because we're on fire with God. That kind of person is going to affect everything around them. Everything they touch is going to start on fire. And I believe with all my heart, when you're crying out to God for that kind of a heart, that kind of a passion, that kind of a reality, for all the things that we know that are right, the things we should do, the things we ought to do, to have God's passionate anointing of the Holy Ghost, the fervency, the fire of the Holy Spirit, when we cry out for those things, I believe that's on God's heart more than it is on ours. It's Him that put the kindling within our hearts to even desire those things. But when we pray, we know we have the petitions we'd ask of Him. And we want to thank God for something, start thanking Him for fervency of spirit that He's going to give you because you're crying out for the things that are on His heart. And brothers, when we speak to the lost, we'll speak with tears running down our face. We'll speak with intensity, anointing, and earnestness. And those words will stick like a barb in their spirit. And that word will bring forth. He says, the kingdom of God is like as a man that casts seed in the ground, and he knows not how it grows. He rises up day and night, and he knows not how it grows. But the earth brings forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and after that the harvest. And this word, he's saying, if you'll plant it, it will grow. You plant the seed of the word of God, the true word of God, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you will have a harvest. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, Psalm 126, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him.
Amen. Good, timely word, Michael, thank you very much. Yep, we need to get it from up here down to our heart. Ask the Lord to do that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, anybody got any comments?
Isn't it interesting the two concepts, what God wants us to do is to strive to enter into that rest. So you have the rest, and you have the striving, and of course in Hebrew thinking, as opposed to Greek thinking, Hebrew thinking, you can have both things at the same time. So, you know how Greek is kind of, you know, one or the other, whereas in Hebrew it's both. But, it's easy to kind of mix up what to strive for and what to rest regarding. And what to rest in.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Yeah. Let's pray for what Michael Montana just shared. Let's pray for it.
Go ahead, girl.
Michael Montana, will you pray, please? I can pray, too, but your passion is there tonight.
Well, Lord, we just thank you so much that we can come to you and we can ask these things. We're striving, Lord, to have this word placed in our heart, Lord, that it will come alive at the times that we need it, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all that Michael was talking about there, Father. And we just praise you. And we ask, Lord, that for all of us, that we take it from where we've placed it and put it down in our hearts, Lord, where it'll be a part of us. It'll be alive in us, Lord. And we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're eating that word. And it's becoming a part of us. It's becoming our nature now. Because we're calling those things that are not as though they were. We're seeing the end from the beginning, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working that work in all of us. That we are going to be walking as Jesus walked. We are going to be walking as the disciples walked on this earth. Because we have faith in you, Lord. We trust you, and we thank you, Lord, for your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father.
Michael, did your sister ask me to pray? I didn't hear what she said.
Yeah, she did. She asked you to pray.
Okay, I'll pray too, Father.
Okay.
Lord, every single person, Lord, that's been a part of this conference call, I'm asking, Lord, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will kindle a fire in our hearts, Lord God, that will burn brightly, Lord God, that will burn until that last day, Lord God, when we finally cross the divide. But I pray, Lord, in the meantime, Lord God, that every person here would be affected by the Holy Spirit, by revelation, Lord God, by a fervency of spirit, by clarity, Lord God, to see beyond the veil of this natural realm. I pray you'd kindle a burning fire in our hearts, Lord God, that everything we touch will be set ablaze by the Holy Ghost, Lord God, and that we would affect people one way or another, that there would not be. I know that Paul said, Lord, in his word, that we are to some a savor of death and to some a savor of life. But to those that have a heart to walk in the truth, that will receive the truth, I pray we would kindle a fire in their hearts, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord God, we'd speak with love, that we'd walk in love toward God, toward our fellow man, and toward our brethren. That, Lord God, we would be an example, Lord God, not that we would be white hot for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we would be filled with the passion of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name.
Amen. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Put that fire in us, Lord. Let that Holy Spirit come through here in a mighty rushing wind of fire, Lord, and through each one of us, Lord, and I thank you for it. Man, I'm fired up now. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Is that Barbara?
Yes. Good prayer. I receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Lord, I just ask that fire would burn completely alive in our intercessors too, Lord, that the intercessors would grab that fire would go through them and they would be renewed with your strength and your zeal, Lord, to intercede for the brothers and sisters, Father. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for renewed strength, renewed vigor, renewed awareness of your Holy Spirit and Him leading us, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, my. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else? Come on now. That set me on fire there. I know it did some of y'all. Come on now, let's hear. Chris Garber, what do you think?
I say amen, brother. Bring it amen. On, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hey, Michael, I'll share a little thing. This stirred up some things in me.
Okay.
When Michael talked about sharing with tears, and when I shared at my mom's funeral, I was just trying to be led of the Lord, and I just tried to share, you know, more testimony of what the Lord did. And I got a little emotional, but it wasn't because of the sadness of the occasion. It was the joy of the Lord as far as what the Lord did. And even when I went, you know, when I went there the first time and, you know, I was told that my mom was gone and I walked into the room, you know, I didn't have this deep sadness. You know, it was just like I saw her that she was, you know, totally in peace. But when I asked for a word from the Lord and he gave me that scripture about her being in heaven, you know, I just bawled like a baby, you know. So it was just like, I mean, it's just the joy of the Lord is just such an emotion, you know, just a true emotion, you know, as far as that. But I was just seeing where, I mean, a lot of things that Michael just shared just really hit home. You know, after I went up for that funeral, I just saw where there was a boldness in me and I didn't have an agenda and I had a heart of compassion for the people that were there. And in the beginning, when I was thinking about what I wanted to share, I didn't have that heart of compassion. You know, I had a heart where I wanted to bring correction, or I wanted to bring a salvation message, or I wanted to, you know, share the truth or whatever it was, but it wasn't with a heart of compassion. And I knew I was in works, and I just had to put that all aside. And I just went up there and shared what was on my heart. And the neat thing that happened is that I'd gotten a text from my sister, you know, this week, and she shared with me that a lot of her friends had commented on what I had shared at the funeral. And, you know, she just mentioned that, you know, some of them were crying like babies. And I just saw where, you know, the Lord working through me was able to touch some others' hearts, because I had a heart of compassion and I didn't have a heart of judgment or, you know, have an agenda as far as that. And I was just really seeing something else that Michael talked about was, you know, out there handing out booklets and stuff like that. And this weekend, I had some Jehovah Witnesses show up at my door, and they've shown up here a few times before. And in the past, I've just kind of taken their booklets and they've gone away. And the last time they showed up, I was thinking, well, they must think that I'm not saved. You know, that's why they came back. So I shared with them how I'm in the Word every day, and I study the Bible, and I just, you know, I just love Jesus, and they showed up again. And so, they showed up, and I was kind of busy the last time, and then they showed up this Saturday, and I'm thinking, well, they must think I'm looking for a church, or they must think that I'm, they're trying to get me to join their church. Because they already know I'm saved. They already know I love the Lord. So this time, I basically just started sharing with them testimonies of, you know, where I was at and when I got saved. And I started sharing miracles of, you know, some of the miracles I've seen as far as legs growing out and people being healed. And I just was just sharing the just awesome testimonies and the power of God I've seen since I've come to the Lord. And I pretty much shared with them what I saw. I asked them about end times and if they thought we were in end times. And I talked to them about end times. And I talked to them about rapture. You know, I really don't know what they believe, but, you know, they don't believe that they're going to get raptured out of here. But I really don't know what their whole theology is as far as that. And I shared with them that, you know, there's a shaking coming and there's a judgment on the church. And when that judgment comes, that you're going to either fall into the fold and it's going to be one flock and one shepherd. And there's not going to be Jehovah Witnesses and Baptists and Methodists and all these sects. I said, you're either going to fall into the fold or you're going to fall out of the fold. And I think that, you know, I mean, I could see they perked up on that one. And so I just kind of, the Lord gave me a boldness, and I just kind of poured it out as far as, you know, what I believed. And I talked about coming out of the church and what the church was. And so it was, I thought it was pretty good. And Trish was inside praying, and she could discern some religious spirits and stuff like that. But I thought it was pretty good. And I said, well, I took their literature. I've never read it before, so I told them, well, I'll read it, and, you know, if you guys want to come back or something like that. I'm just curious if they are going to come back after what I shared, but it was pretty interesting. But then I had a situation where I was invited to come to church. Somebody invited me to their church, and I woke up Sunday, and I threw four quarters and I got four heads, as if I was supposed to go. But there was just something in my spirit as far as going. And I kind of just prayed in the spirit the whole time there. And this is a non-spirit-filled church. And it was, and I'd never been to a church like this. I've never been to a, you know, just only to like a wedding or a funeral or something like that. I've never really sat through a service like this. And, you know, I walk in the door and they hand me an announcement or a program is what I guess we'd call it, a program. They give me this program and I go sit down and they start off with announcements, what's going on and, you know, Wednesday night and this and this and this and this and this. Then the pastor has an opening prayer. They get up, they sing a couple of hymns, and then they have what they call the sharing of joys and concerns. And it wasn't, I think what it was supposed to be was praise reports and things to pray about, but they called it joys and concerns. And a couple things were said, but then it went into silent prayer. It was like they didn't even pray. They went into kind of like a silent prayer. And I guess so you could pray for any things that you want don't want to be revealed to the church. And then they went into the scripture reading, and the scripture was inside the little program they handed me in the door. So nobody needed a Bible. So you could go in there and, you know, the scripture that's going to be read that day was actually printed out for you inside the program. And the pastor shared a short little story afterwards. They passed the hat and took up the tithes and offerings. And they sang a hymn, How Great Thou Art, and it was over. And it was probably, I don't know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that from start to finish. And it was so dead. And it was like, I was just praising the Lord that he has opened my eyes and taken me out of the system of man. And I felt a compassion for these people, that they really don't have the fullness of the Lord. They're just kind of going through motions, and it's just, it's so dead and so dry, and I don't know, I just had this compassion. So when Michael's, you know, talking about being baptized, you know, with the, you know, having a heart of fire, and having that compassion, and just having that, you know, just that pouring out of a fervent heart and love towards God's people or towards the lost and all that, I really see that that's, you know, God is working in our hearts, and that's really where we need to be. And because reality is that most of this world is totally lost. I mean, even if they call themselves Christians or not, it just, to me, that was lost. There was no fruit there. There was no Christ there. And, you know, we just, I just see that, you know, just we just have to have that compassion for people. And I think that once we get that compassion, the Lord can really start using us, and that we can't really have the agenda. We just have to be led of the Lord and with that compassion. And just go out there and just start, you know, being led and praying for people and just, you know, I don't know. That's just where I'm feeling as far as what I'm saying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing us dead churches and how you can bring, you know, the Lord can take a church like that and the people inside of it, breathe on them a little bit and breathe a little fire into them, and they'll have revival there. I believe it. I believe that's what he's going to do here shortly. Thank you, Lord. I had a similar experience, Tim, happened to me about 3 or 4 years ago when I first came to Tennessee. I met a man up at Co-op in Sweetwater, and he invited me over to his church. And I went over there one Sunday morning. I found the Lord. I believe the Lord directed me to go over there. And the church was inside of a barn. He had a church made up out of a horse barn, which was pretty neat, actually. There wasn't a whole lot of people there. They was probably a total of about 15 altogether. But the thing about it was he got up and he shared a little bit, you know, and they sang. He was a musician, and he did some songs, and some kids did some songs. And he let people get up and share testimony, and they did. And then he had a little word. And then afterwards, he said, well, I just feel led to ask, you know, if there's something that you'd like to share. And he was talking to me, and I said, well, yeah, I can share some. That was an open door for me, you know. I hadn't expected it. But anyway, the Lord helped me along there, and I got up, and I shared about the end times. I shared about that judgment was coming, and like Tim was talking about, I shared that judgment was coming to sanctify the church and to remove the tares and to bring the fold together. And you know what he was? It was all the time that I was speaking and talking in that vein that he was saying, isn't that something I've been telling y'all? Isn't that something I've been telling y'all? And we talked about holiness and how God was perfecting His saints, and how He did it through faith. And he was backing me up with everything that I said. And I thought that was such a breath of fresh air. And that little old bitty church out there in a barn that this preacher had come to this knowledge of what God was fixing to do, you know, and that we were all going through the tribulation. You know, the church was going through the tribulation. He believed that, and that it was for the cleansing of the church, and he believed that. So it was awesome. It was an awesome time. I never did. The Lord never did have me go back, but that one time that I did, it was a blessing. So yeah, I can. I happened to get hit one that was a nugget, and praise God, I didn't have to go to one of those old dead churches. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share or comment on?
Well, Michael, what do you, and the rest of you, what are some of your thoughts regarding some of these institutional churches or denominations? You know, obviously the Lord has led a lot of folks out of these different groups, and, you know, the calls that come out from among them. And, and I've wondered, is the Lord just going to withdraw His Spirit from these groups, and kind of have a because in the past, you know, there's been, the Lord has worked through some denominations in a very powerful way, and I know I've been in meetings where I mean the Holy Spirit was so strong in that room, and looking back on it, there was a lot of misunderstanding, there was doctrines that weren't right, but the Holy Spirit was. I mean, to say the Holy Spirit wasn't there would be just crazy. But I haven't been in a meeting, of course, and I haven't been around in this particular denomination around the world, so I don't know what's been going on recently. But and I've wondered, is the Lord going to just kind of dry things up among the different institutional groups, and then have single source? By single source, I mean, you know, his people that have come out, you know, work through them. I know the Lord's gracious and merciful, and he hears prayers. I'm just asking, you know, just out loud wondering, you know, how's, you know, is the Lord going to start just pulling back and making it really clear that, you know, I don't want you going to this place. This is a dried place, and I don't, you know. Because there are people that are looking. A lot of people are looking.
Well, I can tell you that it's going to happen the first 3.5 years like it did in the Gospels. Signs and wonders are going to draw people to the true people of God. Regardless, there's going to be Jehovah's Witnesses, there's going to be Baptists, there's going to be Church of Christ members possibly, and there's going to be all kinds of people are going to come out of those places because they're going to see the power of God working through all the darkness that's all around them. They're going to see the light, and it's going to spread like wildfire. You remember what happened to Jesus? Man, they followed him around like a bunch of whoop pups, man. I mean, everywhere he went, he had people following him around. They wanted to see the miracles of God. They wanted to understand what was going on, and that's the way it's going to be. In the first 3.5 years, you know. And even in the second 3.5 years, the witnesses are going to go out and they're going to witness for the God, and the signs and wonders are going to follow them. And it's going to be awesome. And that's what's going to draw people, is the God in his people, that light that they have, that power that God brings on them, and that knowledge of the true gospel is going to be brought forth like never before. That the former rain is the power of God. That's what I believe, the power of God. And that latter rain, when it hits God's people, that's the knowledge. That's the perfect knowledge of God. And it's going to have, this man-child ministry is going to be teaching the true, complete gospel. And people are going to get it. God's grace is going to be so evident and so prevalent on his people, they're going to grasp this thing and they're going to grow people up in a hurry. He's got a little time to do it, and he's going to do it in that time. He's going to get the people that he has picked, grown up, out there witnessing, showing the gospel of the true loving God that he is, and they're going to see it, and they're going to run to it, and they're going to trample over these false wolf preachers out there that are doing it for money. They're going to trample over them. They're not going to listen to them anymore. And those that do are the ones that have the religious spirit, and they're going to be lost. They're going to be lost. It's those that really seeking after the Lord that's going to see that light, and they're going to run to it like moths to a light. It's going to be an awesome time. That's what's going to happen to the church in America and across this world. They're going to be able to see the light of Jesus Christ in his people, because they're going to shine. Amen. That's what I think.
Michael, God.
Yes, sir.
May I make a comment on that too?
Go right ahead.
I do believe that what you're sharing is going to be the end product, that there will be. I think there's going to be, firstly, I think it's interesting that it says the hirelings are all going to flee when the wolf comes. There's going to be a separation, and it's starting to take place right now. It's very shortly here in the scheme of things that the tax-exempt status is going to get taken away from Christian works if they won't bow the knee to the homosexual agenda and a few other things. And pretty quick here, things are going underground, like it or not, and it's going to separate immediately the flesh, the child of the flesh and the child of the spirit. They're going to be separated. It says in there, it speaks in 1 Peter 3, it says, wherein 8 souls were saved by water. Now, this is the water that destroyed everything, destroyed all life, except those that were in the ark. To those that were in the ark, it was this, their salvation. It was the very water that destroyed the world that lifted them up. It says another place in Hebrews 12, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not that refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It's going to be the shaking away of the false that brings forth the manifestation of the true. And where there's going to be a tremendous separation taking place, especially in the fluffy American church and the free world that right now, spiritually speaking, couldn't beat their way out of a wet paper bag. And that world is going to get shaken mightily. And it's going to, as Michael said, there's going to be some that either are going to fall in the right side or they're going to fall off the other side, but they're not going to be sitting in the middle anymore. But I believe that right now we're getting ready to see a tremendous separation between the wheat and the tares, as it were, the wet logs getting off the fire so that the fire can burn brightly and represent Christ truly and righteously.
Boy, you got away with words. I like that. Amen. That's exactly right, Michael. You're right.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Michael on that. What I'm seeing happen is he's exactly right. What you have with the present-day churches, they're concerned about their buildings and about keeping people coming into some place where they can control their environment. Once they lose that control, they're not going to have any ability to take money out of people anymore. And that's their biggest concern, really, is it's about getting that money, keeping generated in that building. I mean, I recently had a conversation with a fellow at a party a couple weeks ago. It was through my wife's side of church, which I went, and I thought, okay, I'll have a chance to talk to some people, maybe bring some light. And that was one of the comments. This guy was there. He was a trustee, been there for, I don't know, in the church years now, 30, 40 years. And now he worked his way up to been an elder for years. Now he's a trustee kind of a guy and handles all the building circumstances and all the, he says, and that's why people come to our church, because it's been there so many years and they talk about that church. And I thought, and that's when I said, well, you know, what are they doing? They take away your tax exempt status and that's all gone. And I says, well, what's going to happen when the gays want to come up and get married in your church? What are you going to do about that? Well, yeah, we've had those conversations. And I says, yeah, that's coming. They're coming to close you guys down. You know that, right? I mean, that's the biggest fear they have, is losing that control over people by having that building. That building represents a lot to them. They have some place they can bring people in, and they've got control on that environment. So that's one thing I see. The other thing I'm going to see, start seeing, you're going to start seeing more and more stupid things coming out of mouths. Excuse my language, it's stupid, but they're going to start grabbing hold of whatever they can grab a hold of to divert the attention off what's going on, to keep them, the people entertained and thinking they have to go along with this program or that. I actually had recently had a conversation with a pastor, and I love the guy. I mean, I do love him, but he was going off in a direction. I said, you know, I pointed out, and I says, and he was talking about leadership. And I said, it's on my Facebook account, and I let it go. I wouldn't say anything. Finally did it again, and I said, I emailed him back. I said, you know, I did a word search in the Bible, and I said, I searched four different Bibles, and I didn't see anything in leadership. And, you know, it's like, oh, it was like silence there, you know. It's like, you know, but they're coming up with all these little gimmicks to hold people, you know, put them under some kind of legalistic law. And once people start seeing through that and realizing, hey, wait a minute, I'm not getting anything out of this. This isn't bringing me closer to Christ. This is just some kind of bondage you're putting on me. This is a Pharisee kind of thing. So I think we're going to see more and more pharisaical ideas coming out of church, more and more ways to keep those people under and entertained or whatever. And people are going to start hopefully seeing through that. And like Michael said, once that government starts, the wolf starts going heavy down there, path about trying to eat them up, because they're not going to be, either they're going to fall in line and they're going to adopt homosexual marriages and they're going to whatever else they want them to do, or else they're going to lose their tax exempt status and have to close down. You'll see who wants to stay with Christ and who wants to keep the buildings going.
Amen. David, I was in a, go ahead, Michael.
No, I was just amending him.
I was at a you know, I wish I could speak freely and name the denomination and the name of the meeting and everything else. I just, this is recorded though, and governments from all around the world can listen. No. So, okay, I'll quit complaining. I was at a large meeting and at this big denominational meeting, and it had many thousands of people there. And I was just so sick listening to what I was listening to. There was endless. One, fundraising for this project, and then discussing this other project in this other part of the world, and discussing this other project over here, and what the financial needs are there. And it was, just money, and help. Send, we need people to help us. We need money, and then they had some singing and some wonderful music. And I just sat there and I thought, oh, it was very hard on me just to be there. And then the main speaker got up, and I have some experience with some of these folks. So anyway, and as he spoke for his sermon, I thought, I don't know how anything could be deader than this. This is as dead as it gets, and I just was You know, in my younger years, I've been around speakers who were just, you know, they talk about heaven and they're crying, you know, or they talk about bringing people to the Lord, and it was so, it was just as real as could be, you know. The Holy Spirit was there, and conviction of sin and repentance and all these things, and I was thinking, where is this? Where is, what happened to those meetings? What happened to those days? And anyway, maybe this is just a great place for catharsis, so I can just kind of... Anyway, I don't typically go, but this is one meeting that I did go to, and it was quite a heartbreaking situation for me to see this after all these years.
Amen. Yep, that ground starts shaking. People are going to start wondering, well, how come I'm not raptured out of here? And they're going to see a lot of things. They're going to see a lot of things. That, you know, doctrine is going to go down by the wayside when the ground starts shaking and the government troops are around and all that kind of stuff had happened. They're going to look for a light, because they haven't been in anything but darkness and law for these many years in most of them. They think that people ought to come to church and get saved in the church. Well, that church is not for getting saved. Church is for discipleship. Evangelists are out there on the street, should be out there on the street evangelizing. Praise God. And that's what's going to happen. These witnesses are going to be out there. The two witnesses are going to be all over this world. And they're going to have the truth of the knowledge of God and Jesus. They're going to have this power of God on the streets. And that's what's going to bring them. That's what's going to bring them. And like Michael was talking about earlier, it's going to take a lot to get them shook loose. You know, we can have a natural disaster. We can have a 911 and people will flock to the churches, but it doesn't last long. They'll be there for a couple of weeks, you know, and then they'll start missing church, you know. But in the days ahead, I'm telling you, the shaking is not going to stop. God's going to shake and shake and shake and shake until he shakes them all loose from those apostate religions that they're in. All of his people are going to be shook loose from them. And it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a trying time, but it's going to be a wonderful time in the Lord. Okay, anybody else got any thoughts on the churches and how they're going to be turned to Jesus in the days ahead?
Yeah, look, I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I was listening to somebody recently who was talking about church, you know, the biblical, the you know, the Greek word, and he was saying that we don't bring lost people to church. We don't try to get people to come in and if somebody's been, you know, if we've started discipling somebody, they've become born again, they've been baptized and whatnot, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, then they're there, but you don't bring people in and try to induce them at the door with donuts and coffee kind of change everything to appeal to the fleshly desires, you know, and have your elegant sound system and all that kind of stuff. By the way, there's a video out there I could still get a crack out of watching it. It's very short, and it's just this guy standing there talking about tithing, and he says, you know, running a church nowadays is, you know, it's expensive. You know, we have the comfortable seating, we have theater sound, and we have, you know, all these different wonderful programs. And then he says, running a church is expensive. But then he says, but the Lord knows our needs. That's why he invented the tithe, to help and bless you. And so it was just so terribly facetious. Oh, goodness, forgive me.
They'll stoop to any kind of length, won't they?
Yeah. No, this guy, it was a the whole thing is a, you know, it was a joke because they were just making fun of tithing.
Yeah.
But
he nailed it.
Yeah, he said, and his punchline is, I shouldn't kill it, because, but I haven't seen it on the internet since I got it, but it said, he said at the very end, he said, if that plate passes you by and you just don't put anything in, he said, just remember, those donuts are not for you.
Yep, he nailed it. Praise God. All right, anybody else got any thoughts on the end time church and how it's going to be affected?
Michael.
Hey, Marla.
Yeah, I just share with you what we had happen here this weekend. We always have a study on Sunday, and we just go over David's teachings. Right now we're doing the one about the tongue conquers the curse. And one of the people that come brought a guest this weekend, and we didn't know anything about the person at all. And, you know, I thought we better kind of find out a little about him before we started. I kind of shared with him that we're full gospel, and you know, that right away you could tell that he didn't agree with that. And then it come out that he was from one of the local churches here that, in fact, the same religion we come out of years ago. And kind of shared with him a little bit about end times, and no, he didn't believe, God didn't want us to know what he said in the Bible, that no one knows, not even Jesus knows, and he don't want us to know, so he's not even thinking about the end times. And I asked him, you know, what their church is. No, he says they're just saying it's in God's hands, and they're not even worrying about it. And it was just one thing after the other that he just was totally closed. I mean, we showed him verses, and it just, I've heard David say many times, it goes right over their head, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, it didn't even affect him. He'd show him that, and he'd get right back on the same old things again. And so, and then this week I got to share with another guy who was a Catholic, and he was fairly open. I was surprised. He had some things, you know, to do with Mary and stuff that don't line up with what we believe, but he was fairly open to the end time stuff, so there's different people believe different things.
Amen. You know, Michael Montana, help me out here. Who was it that was it Dimitri Dudeman went to a meeting and over in one of the communist countries? And there was Jehovah's Witnesses and Baptists and all kinds of Catholics and all kinds of denominations in there because they were there was a lot of chaos going on or something, and they were all came together to pray. Was that where it was, Michael? I believe it was you that brought that out. Might have been somebody else.
They went into Russia to rescue them because they were, I don't know, being isolated somehow all together in one building by the communists. And they're all praying steadfast for, you know, quite a few days because they didn't have any food or water or anything. And Dimitri Dudeman, with a couple of the carloads of people, brought food and clothing to them.
Well, it was all different kinds, wasn't it?
Yep, they were all, you know, Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses and Baptists, and they had laid aside all their religious differences and got on their knees and were praying all together for the Lord, you know, screaming, praying for deliverance. And, you know, they truly showed the unity of the church coming together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we're going to see the same thing, you know. Hardship and persecution and trials will bring a lot of them together to pray. And you know, I often like to go back and read about the Russians immigrants that Boris Sorosky talked about. His grandparents and his parents came out of Russia into China and over to Canada. They would go, when they were in Russia, they would go to those prayer meetings in fear of the Lord. They didn't know, you know, they knew that all sin was going to be exposed when they went in there, and God would correct them. You know, not with a ball bat or anything like that, but they just knew that they weren't going to get away with anything. And God was doing it. And you know something? He's doing that now, too. He's doing that now. There is fear for the Lord, a reverent fear of the Lord, to go ahead and get things right with him and get this stuff cleaned out of us. Let the Lord do that with you. We're seeing that here in the local, and I'm sure y'all are seeing it out there as well. And that's always stuck in my mind about these prayer meetings that they had over there in Russia. These poor peasant farmers coming together in unity of faith to seek the Lord on what they needed to do. And, you know, we're going to have the same thing. You know, we come together in prayer time, and we fellowship for 30 minutes to an hour, and then we all knuckle down and praise God in song, and that's good. That's really good. But there's going to come a time when we come together in solemn earnestness and prevailing prayer. Travailing, T with a T, is going to be come forth out of these prayer groups for the brothers and sisters across the nations. We're going to hear that. We're going to see that. And there's not going to be this come in there for a couple of hours, 2-3 hours, and leave. It's going to be some all-night vigils. I know that Lord told me when I first came to Tennessee, we're going to see some all-night vigils because we're praying for the people around us. You know, all of us together. I mean, all in unity together. We'll be praying. Maybe all night long. Could be. And God's going to visit those who are diligent in seeking him. Like Michael Montana was talking about, we persevere, we go seek the Lord, and we tug on him until he comes and talks to us, comes and tells us what's going on, comes and gives us the answers that we've asked for. You know, I often like to go back and listen to Andrew Murray and also listen to some of those old saints, read about some of those old saints, you know, Jacob Beam and Joseph Salmon and some old saints like that. And what's the guy's name we got on the site there? Bevins, where he would pray until God told him what to do. And he wouldn't move until God told him. You know, he spent, I don't know how many days up in a log, a hollow log. Got fed by the squirrels 3 times a day.
The G.C. Bevington.
Yeah, that guy. Bevington, yeah.
You know, Michael Day had a story, a prophet, the visitation, I should say. But he was one night, the Lord showed him this picture. And he sees this city that's completely raised. I mean, there's nothing. All you can see is there's a foundation sticking out of this charred, burnt ground. You couldn't see a house, a tree, nothing. Just everything had been burned up. And you could just see where the foundations had been. And all of a sudden, he sees a very peculiar thing in this vision he has. He sees this house standing there. And it has a little bit of a charred look on the very outside edges a little. But it's still standing. And he walks up near and he hears the people in there crying out to God fervently. He said the kind of prayer we used to see in Romania when the persecution was great. And he said, and then the angel of the Lord stood beside him and said, do you understand what you're seeing? And he goes, I think so. He says, I don't think so. And then he sees the same scene again, but this time he sees that same neighborhood. All the houses painted with the pretty little colors and the little dogs barking and the trees and the fences painted white and a pretty little place. And he notices that same house and he goes by and the same fervent prayer was coming out of it before there was any crisis. And the angel said, now do you understand? They were crying out to God with intensity before the crisis ever came. So they withstood the crisis when the crisis came because the same fervent prayer had been going on before the crisis. It's called The House That Stood, if you want to read the vision and Hand of Help, The House That Stood.
Yep, I've read that, and that is awesome. But I'm going to read it again. And that's true, Michael. You got to be praying now. Need to be praying now for God's guidance. Amen. You know, you can go back and you can read about the old saints, that true people of God who prayed and waited on God for the answers and did exactly as he told them, and they came out victorious every time. It's those that wanted to take the high road or the wide road that always failed. Always failed. And that's should be a lesson to all of us that it makes no difference what kind of a predicament or circumstance that we find ourselves in. God can get us out of it if we persevere in our faith and our prayer life. A lot of times, we've seen that happen here. You can thwart the enemy's plans against you and your fellow brothers and sisters by listening to what God's telling you in the Word, and also in dreams and visions and words of knowledge. And listen to what he's saying, and then take it and run with it and start coming against it. We have thwarted the enemy's advances, tried to advance against us. Lord, show us. We'd pray against it, and it wouldn't happen. That's the thing about prayer. We should be on the offensive instead of the defensive all the time. When you're on the offensive, it's a whole lot easier to do that warfare, to come against the enemy before he ever attacks. And so that's why we need to be listening to God and renewing our mind with the Word of God and asking the Lord these questions about what's going to happen and watching and listening. You know, we had a warning just a few days ago about some things that were going to happen. We went into warfare. We went into prayer, fasted and prayed, and thwarted the enemy's advances again, once again. And it was just awesome to watch God do that. Does anybody agree with me out there?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm beginning to wonder. I was talking to myself. Glory to God. Yeah. Prayer is good. Prayer is good. The offensive prayer is the best. You know, it takes a while for us to... Sometimes we're a little bit thick-headed. I'm not saying that for y'all. I'm just saying it for me now. And it takes us a while to get to understand how God works and how we ought to be listening, paying attention to what God's telling us, and then going on the offensive against the enemy. And man, you're going to see victories. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, we have seen so many victories here because of the warnings that God gives us. And then we go into that praying and fasting and thwart all kinds of faction, all kinds of witchcraft that comes against UBM, even out there with y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we come against all of that, and I'm telling you, the Lord is merciful, and he's gracious with us, too. He'll send his warrior angels out there, and he'll protect all of us. Has anybody seen any... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just reflecting on what you were saying earlier in regards to, I think the comment was based on when 9/11 and how the churches were filled and then they emptied back out. And I was just realizing how many of us, you know, through this conference call, you know, those that tie into heavy duty truth ministry, keep wanting the Lord. The grace that he's given us, it was just, you know, to keep running after him. I mean, we have our trials and our low points, of course, and distractions sometimes. But we all just know our lives would be like without him. And I just, you know, you don't realize that sometimes because we're always talking amongst each other and how much we love the Lord. There's a lot of people out there that just say, hey, Lord, how you doing? I got to get on with my day. You know, so I just was realizing the grace that we have to follow him and love him.
Yeah, it seems as though that he has placed something in all of us to hunger for him. And I know when I get in at that point to where, you know, it's I'm kind of lackadaisical in my running after the Lord, I'll just do like David says, you know, ask him, Lord, place it back in me, get that fire going. Lord, don't let me get caught up here in this mess, you know, and he'll do it. And then next thing you know, I'm back into the Word and back into the Bible studies, and just that's what we're doing. And it's awesome to watch other people do it as well, you know. And you know what's really awesome to me is I've watched the people come in here with an agenda. I have watched people come in here that didn't have so much of an agenda as that they wanted to get to a certain level and they didn't want to go any further. But then I've watched people that like what we have now that wanted to go as far and as go up on that mountain as high as they can with the Lord. And the Lord is allowing it. They might get knocked down halfway down the mountain at times, but they repent and they get back up, and up the mountain they go again. That, to me, is awesome to watch, because now we know how to focus our prayers. We know how to get together and pray the prayer of faith, and everybody agrees and believes. And boy, I tell you what, the angels go to work then. And you start seeing miracles. You start seeing people's eyes light up. You start seeing faction go out the window. You start seeing gossip going out the window and slander going out the window. Locally, I'm talking about. You see all of that stuff that has hindered ministries before not doing it again, because people are sold out to Jesus, that whatever it takes, that's what they're going to do. And when somebody brings something into the camp and it's not of the Lord, and they get corrected for it, it looks to me like they're grasping it, repenting, and going on up the mountain. And that's what's happening. Praise God. I tell you, it's just awesome to watch for me. Anyway, anybody else got anything they'd like to add or talk about here? We got a few minutes left. Has anybody seen anything on this, on not being able to see the new moon, witness the new moon Sunday?
Yeah, you were talking about that at the beginning of the conference. What was that all about?
Well, according to what I've read and what David has told me, is that they have the rabbis or whoever it is the witness over there has to witness the new moon on Rosh Hashanah, and if he doesn't, they up it until they do witness it. In other words, if it's I guess if it's cloudy or something like that and they can't witness it, it's not witnessed, and so they up it a day. And it looks like that's what's happened here, which actually brings, because Shemitah is also hinges on the new year, the day of the new year. And if that's a fact, then that's moved up a day as well. So I hadn't been able to confirm it other than what I've seen on the internet, just a couple of places there. One was, what was the name of that? Behind the News, Before It's News, or something like that. And then another one was on, yeah. And then another one was on the YouTube. I saw somebody had something on there about it. So that's all I know.
They have the calendar dates, which we've been going by, but now we're hearing it's still not official until we see the full moons that Israel does.
Yeah. Is it the full moon or the new moon?
I really don't know. I'd have to look and see how they look at everything.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if that's the way that they view the technicality for witnessing the new moon, and that being the determinant for initiating the observance of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, first day of the seventh month, if that same kind of technicality might be applied to the month before, month number six, and if that kind of a technicality would be applied, and if they can't see it, you know, for a couple, 3 days, you know, month number six, that would push back Elul 29, what Jonathan Kahn often referred to, if that same kind of technicality would be in play.
Okay, I guess I'm not following you, Bart. Are you saying that if they did it in the 6 month?
No, no.
What? What are you... Okay,
if
go
the,
ahead.
The stipulation of witnessing the new moon being the single factor that calls into the declaration of, you know, the first day of the next month, okay, if that applies to all of the months of the Jewish year, if that, you know, because I've kind of wondered myself, so the only way that they could witness the new moon is at the start of the new moon period in Jerusalem, every single day around the new moon, it would be clear, okay?
Absolutely.
Right? So I don't know. I've never been to Jerusalem. I don't know how often they experience cloud cover, and if the result of cloud cover, they actually, for that sake, may actually wait a day before it clears up, and they can see the first crescent of the new moon, and then officially declare, based on that technicality, officially declare, okay, seen the new moon, we can declare it the next month, the first sighting of the new moon for the next month for all of the months, okay, from the first month to the 12th or even maybe the 13th month. And here, this is going to be going into month number seven, and, you know, being that the Shemitah, what Jonathan Kahn was talking about, I mean, there's the seventh, every seventh year, and that, so the part of the year that that winds up fulfilling the Sabbath year in terms of the canceling of debts.
Yeah, do you believe
the end of the 6 month of the, you know, the 29th of Elul, the last day of the of month number six, every seventh year, and that wouldn't be identified technically until for month number six, that the first sighting of the first crescent of the new moon was visually sighted officially. And if there was cloud cover at the start of month number six, here, you know, some 27, 28, 29 days ago, if that was the case, okay, then even though Rosh Hashanah would officially occur, of course, predicated on the first sighting of the new moon, if you can see it, but for the, you know, days leading up to it, you would still be counting the month of Elul, 27, 28, 29, maybe 30, I don't know, okay?
Yep.
But it was stipulated that, or often talked about traditionally, is what Jonathan Kahn was talking about, the 29th of Elul being the traditional day where debts were cleared. And if that technicality could only be take place if the first sighting of the new moon was required for month, you know, number six as well, was delayed because of cloud cover, I don't know. Does
well,
that make it
hot?
Does that make it that could make it possible that they haven't seen day number 29 yet.
I don't know how they do it, but if they in fact do go up a day, then everything has to move up a day. So Jubilee would move up a day as well. So that's what I'm thinking.
Now, up until the time when they have the sighting of the new moon, then the previous month is now moot, and we're going into the next month.
Yeah, but Shemitah is predicated on the first day of the year, right?
I think the Shemitah.
Rosh Hashanah says it's a new year.
Now you're aware that the first month of the new year is in the spring. It's not in the fall. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though they call it the new year, in I guess Jerusalem, parts of Jerusalem, or some bodies governing religious or whatnot, somehow think that it starts now. That's technically not the case.
Okay, well, we probably need to carry this on next week. Everybody be boned up on all this Hebrew knowledge of the feasts and the trumpets and Rosh Hashanah and what happens if they do have to. But anybody need prayer before we get out of here? Well, it's been an awesome night. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for your testimonies. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that you've answered for us, Father. We ask, Lord, that you be with us tonight and tomorrow and the rest of the week until Thursday, Lord, until we come back together again, Lord, and give us, let us have full awareness of what you're doing around us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us, guiding us, guarding our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless.